Children growing, women producing, men go working, some do stealing. Everyone's got to make a living.
BS. Don't be fooled by the rocks that I got. I'm still Jenny from the block. Used to have a little, now I have a lot. No matter where I go, I know where I came from. Don't be fooled by the rocks that I got.
Good afternoon.
Oh wow, hey, that's what that sounds like.
Voices. I hear eight voices.
That's weird.
Oh yeah, I keep forgetting your guys' headphones aren't like working properly.
They're working totally fine. We're good here. Yeah, that does kind of sound weird. We should consider changing that opening.
It's only been 2.5 years.
It has been.
Hey guys, I have a good idea. What if we do a different podcast?
Yeah, it does sort of put it into context, like, whoa, this is the show that people are listening to.
Yeah, you know, I don't like it.
When you never go back and listen, it's like, oh, this is the shit that I'm putting on the internet.
You know, I'm sure everybody's very confused because we haven't explained that we actually have new equipment.
Yeah.
We've said it like 4 times. Yeah. We haven't explained what that new equipment is. Which is everything.
And we're not going to.
We have like a full-on podcast studio. This is what this is now. We have an audio mixer. We have 4 new microphones. Finally, I learned the difference between a dynamic and a condenser microphone, which I never knew before.
What's the difference, Nika?
Well, a condenser mic picks up... A condenser mic is one that picks up all the audio in the room, like fucking screaming sisters and hot water heaters. You know, just hypothetically speaking, if you were in a room like that.
No experience with that.
No. And a dynamic microphone picks up just what's in front of the mic. That's what's used in literally every setting except for bullshit amateur podcasts like the one we had before. This is now a professional podcast. Oh yeah. We're coming to you. And you can
tell. New formula, same great taste.
Yeah. That's exactly.
Oh,
it's
no.
Exactly.
What
right.
flavor would we be?
Caramel.
Coconut penis.
Not like the flavor of the penis, but more the texture.
Mm. Yeah. Just the texture?
Yeah.
I mean,
I'm okay with the coconut.
I think we're
coconut's fine.
I think we're a little citrusy. I think we're a citrusy flavor.
I hate citrus, coconut, really. Though.
Yeah.
Not the taste, the consistency.
I hate everything about the coconut.
You ever try to eat a coconut?
Yep.
Just like the whole thing?
Yep.
Why would you do that? Why are you answering my question?
Why are you amusing him right now?
We bought coconuts, and I was like, well, I gotta try it, right?
Fucking hate coconut.
And I tried it, and it was not that great. Although I like Mounds bars.
There's not one good thing about a fucking coconut.
Okay, Zach hates coconuts. I forget this. I
hate them with a burning fucking passion.
Makes no
sense. Two things I wish would disappear off this face of this fucking earth. Bees and fucking coconuts.
Not racism.
Nope.
Not bigotry.
Nope.
Not
poverty.
Hunger.
No. Bees and coconuts.
You know what's a commonly hated fruit? Bananas.
Which I don't get. I love the banana.
Yeah. A lot of people like really fucking hate bananas.
A banana's great. What's wrong with a banana?
I know. I love me a banana.
Yeah.
Like, I have a buddy of mine used to...
Hold on. Are you talking about eating a banana?
Yes.
Never mind.
Oh, shit. Welcome to Why Is This a Thing? We're a podcast that we do every week. It used to be bad. Now it's good because we have good audio equipment.
That's how that works. Yep. Totally.
We are...
Whoa, 5-star rating. Weird.
Whoa. You know, Kubrick was awful, and then he got that new camera on.
Oh, yeah.
Best films ever.
Best films ever.
It's a good... Literally, yeah. We are here talking about... My God. What a film to kick off the new era of Why Is This a Thing. Version 2.0 begins with a movie called Geely. It's a classic.
Or as Nico would say, Jiggly.
Jiggly. Well, Giggly. As anybody would say.
Well, they make that mistake in the movie itself, though, don't
yes.
they?
Yeah, once in the first, like, 2 minutes.
And then they correct it,
like, 4 times.
Yes.
Mm. As anybody with, you know, but then the they familiarity never say of the English language would say.
Yeah. Yes, but anybody with a familiarity... I can never say that word. Help me here.
Familiar? What?
Familiarity?
Familiarity.
Of the Italian language would realize it's pronounced Geely.
Geely.
Yeah.
Because it is an Italian name, you Italian prick. I'm staring Nico right in the eyes as I say that.
Mr. Nicola Di Gregorio.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is a movie and a half, as I like to say. That's one of my favorite phrases.
It's a movie and a half. Yeah, yeah.
It's a fucking movie and a half. It's a trip. It is a movie that is notorious for, according to some light internet research, destroying Ben Affleck's career, sending J-Lo's career into a bit of a tailspin, not doing any favors to Al Pacino and Christopher Walken. And ultimately not doing much great for the LGBT community.
The negative press of this movie actually made the director stop directing movies.
That's crazy.
Has he done did he do anything before this movie?
Yeah, he's done a few things, but then this was his last movie.
What did he do before?
Couldn't tell you.
Well, shit, how do we need to know?
Martin Brest, was that his name?
What a name.
Phenomenal name.
Martin Brest. I mean, with a name like that, though.
Old Marty Brest.
Wow. Okay. Marty Brest, the director of the following films: Beverly Hills Cop, Midnight Run, Scent of a Woman.
Nico, you are still very loud.
Yes.
And Meet Joe Black. Yes.
All right.
I don't think I've ever seen Meet Joe Black.
I have.
I have not.
Is that Pitt?
Yeah, he's got a really hilarious death scene in that movie.
You know what else I have never seen?
What?
This is really off topic. Mm-hmm. I've never seen Talented Mr. Ripley.
I haven't seen it either.
You haven't? Oh my god, you both will love that movie.
Oh yeah, I hear.
Literally both of you will love it.
I've never seen it.
That's so weird. I was just thinking about how I haven't seen The Godfather. Or Jaws.
What a coincidence.
Fuck you.
Nick, you haven't seen like anything.
Yeah.
Name a movie.
You've seen The Prestige.
Yes, I have.
He has seen The Prestige.
There you go.
Have you seen The Illusionist?
No.
Okay. You should see it. Have you seen The Illusionist?
The Illusionist blows, dude. Yeah.
That sounds like a bad
movie. No, it does.
Giamatti's in it.
Oh, my boy.
Norton's in it.
Yeah, he is.
Ooh.
Yeah, both your boys.
My boy.
Yeah, that's true.
Ooh.
So this guy is an accomplished director. I mean, Beverly Hills Cop is a star-making performance for Eddie Murphy. Well, maybe not a star-making, but was a big movie for him.
It was certainly career progressing for Eddie Murphy.
Sure.
At the very least.
Midnight Run is an incredible action comedy. That's one of my favorite action comedies of all time. I love Midnight Run. Scent of a Woman, Al Pacino won an Oscar for.
He did Scent of a Woman?
Yes.
Did you not hear him say that?
No, I didn't.
Yes.
I heard. Yeah, no, he said that. I guess everything else.
Scent of a fucking woman.
What the fuck?
Hoorah, baby.
That's weird.
I know. And so I understand now why Pacino did this one. But here's Geely, and I kind of now it's starting to make sense. This is why this movie got made, because this dude has some clout in Hollywood. Clearly he was able to make whatever he wanted, and this is the piece of shit he decides to put pen to paper for.
Well to be fair, it goes to, I mean, we've said it a bunch of times, studio interference. The studio wanted him to make something, and it was supposed to be like a crime drama. Mm-hmm. Right, which is clear from the beginning and everything like that.
Yeah,
but then the studio came in and said, no, let's expand this relationship between the two main characters and let's make it sort of a rom-com. So it just got rewritten and rewritten and rewritten.
Yeah. Okay.
That's a good way to make a movie from my
right, yeah.
Just my experience.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, by the 20th draft, you'll figure out exactly what the fuck this movie is.
Yeah, like, I like when they take a movie and they try to just like put every genre inside of it. That's
yeah.
great.
Yeah, yeah. It's like
Batman v Superman.
Sure.
Have you guys seen this new Batman movie with the samurai?
No.
Ooh. Oh, I know what you're talking about. No, what I've been meaning to.
It's an animated one, I would assume, right?
I think
Ben Affleck didn't have a sword in it.
Does Kevin Conroy do the voice for Batman?
I've just heard about it, I think I saw a poster, and I was like, what the fuck is going on?
The only person who I really paid attention to in the Batman animated movies was Tara Strong. and Mark Hamill, yeah. And Mark Hamill did Killing Joke, what, 2 years ago?
Yeah.
A year and a half ago? And that was it. He's done. So
It's over for him.
Yeah.
This is it. Yeah. No more Mark Hamill doing Joker.
Yeah, and he was done, and he said, the only way I'll come back is if I do the Killing Joke. And then they did the Killing Joke. So.
Okay.
And apparently it wasn't that good.
When they got to the Killing Joke.
Okay.
It's like, I think it's like hour and like 20 minutes, and the first 40 minutes isn't the Killing Joke.
With Batman having sex with that girl.
Yes. No.
That's fun.
Yes.
That's fun.
And then it gets to the Killing Joke, which is awesome.
I know. I'm with you.
I kind of like heavy breathing into this mic. Yeah. This is actually kind of
sexy. I don't
think
anybody else does.
That's why he kept doing it when we were fucking around. It's just so much fun.
It is very fun. I love the sound of my own breath.
Nick, at some point you have to test out your NPR voice so we can hear it.
I have an NPR voice?
Yes.
Shows how much I listen back to. Listen, I live in the moment, and I immediately forget everything afterwards.
That's a pretty NPR thing to say, Nick.
How?
What? I know, it's almost like you're looking for fresh air all the time.
Welcome to Fresh Air.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good. Wait, don't tell me. NPR.
Shut the fuck up. Let's move on.
Yeah, all right.
This is a bad bit, man. We're just dragging the shit.
Get in your car and we'll talk.
Is that supposed to be a car talk pun?
It is.
How many more years till we get a radio show? What do you think?
We have one already, baby.
No, a radio.
Today. We're there.
No, where they actually, like, you know, intentionally put us out there.
We're intentionally putting ourselves out
there. When every other radio show gets canceled.
Nico sounds too good for a radio show.
And today in the news, every radio show has been canceled.
This is it, man.
When the apocalypse comes,
Radio
Corp.
Get home.
What do we do about Stern?
Oh, man. We can invite him on for a unpaid internship program.
Okay.
Okay.
You think Howard Stern has interns?
Oh, well,
100%.
Yeah.
I'd be his intern.
Is that the best internship in the world? Yeah. It has to be. What do you do all day?
Like, you watch boobs.
Yeah, you're scouting porn stars to put on the Sibian. That's the
show. Yeah, that's it.
Howard Stern, man. What a weird show.
Oh, it's the best. I love Stern so much. Yeah. Okay. Let's talk about Geely here.
Geely.
Where do we start with Geely? This again stars Ben Affleck and Jennifer Lopez as a hitman, a sort of a curmudgeon-y hitman. Not really curmudgeon-y. He's not old, but he's grumpy. Mm-hmm. And Jennifer Lopez, who plays a, get this, guys, beautiful.
Whoa.
Hot take.
Yeah. lesbian hitman. Hit woman.
She's not really a hit woman.
She's a fixer.
Sure. I think they called her like a gangster or thug or something in the description, which didn't really match what I saw.
That's what it says on her business card.
Which
thug.
I know on the description of the
professional fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah, something real.
Goomba.
Hey, watch it.
That's what it says. Yeah. She is a lesbian. This is a
criminal lesbian.
That's her description.
It makes it sound like being a lesbian is against the law.
She's part of the dark underbelly of the lesbian trade.
Underbelly, good choice.
Yeah, she's part of the lesbian cartel. Hopping over the border.
Lesbian cartel.
Smuggling in other pussy eaters.
Oh my god.
Clam lickers, as they refer to.
Clam lickers.
Narcos season 4.
Okay.
I'm fine with that.
Anyway.
This just in, Narcos canceled.
Wow, I thought it was doing so well. Netflix just decided to abandon it. Nick, care to describe the plot of Geely?
Oh, sure. Open. Ben Affleck talking into the camera.
Yeah.
Wait, it's not a camera. It's a man in a washing machine.
Yeah. In a dryer.
What difference does it fucking make?
One has water.
So we don't know. We didn't see. He didn't turn it on. Listen.
The guy's credit was man in dryer.
I think we know. Yeah.
Well, there's my point to how important this conversation is right now.
Yes, okay.
Geely, who is referred to in the entire movie as Larry.
Yeah, his name said twice.
Is working for a...
In over 2 hours, it said twice.
Well, yeah, I think at the beginning, and then again at the beginning, and then it's Larry.
Yep.
He's working for a sort of Italian thug mastermind named Louis.
Louis Fine.
Which is another very threatening gangster name. That's another... Like, if Larry and Louis come banging on my door, like...
Larry and Louis?
The break out the cold sweats.
Yeah. They are so not intimidating.
No, and Louis as an actor.
Especially Louis.
Louis, oh my god.
This casting choice confused me. First thing that confused me about it, why was this not Michael Rapaport? That was number one.
Like, said no.
I have a question.
You don't know who Michael Rapaport is?
Not off the
top. I know the name. I'm trying to picture
him. Yeah.
What was he in?
I only know him. I mean, I know him from a few things, but not what they are specifically. But I think the thing I know from him most notably is Prison Break.
Yes, he was in the final season of Prison Break.
Never seen Prison Break. Ooh, that's a lie. I've seen the first... 4 episodes of Prison Break.
And he's also one of the great tweeters in the world. this is Michael Rapaport.
Yeah.
He was in True Romance.
Oh, he's yep.
Copland.
Okay. Yep, yep, yep.
Yes.
He's awesome. Yeah.
He always plays just the thug.
That's not Bill Burr? that you just showed me there?
So, he does look a lot like
that's not Bill Burr? Man. I've always thought he's very similar to Bill Burr.
And wouldn't you know it, Bill Burr and him, great friends.
I think you've told me about this
that
before.
That does not surprise me whatsoever.
They're on each other's podcasts all the time.
Yeah, I think you were telling me about this before.
They're like
before,
the same
actually.
Person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Listen, by the way, to the I Am Rapaport Stereo podcast. It's the greatest thing ever. Go ahead.
Their plan... So do we even know why they're doing this initially? Lewis just tells him, I need you to kidnap this kid.
Well, he says that a friend is in some trouble and it would be nice if, you know, we got some leverage on him, essentially.
Right.
Yeah.
So Larry is basically sent to go basically kidnap a retarded kid.
That's right. Let's not use that word.
Yes.
That's what it is.
Let's not use that word. Let's try. And well,
he is quite retarded.
Let's try. Let's try this one on for size.
He's like
gentlemen.
Super retarded. No, this isn't even like I'm not trying to make a joke. I'm not using it in a derogatory sense. That is who he is.
I don't super duper retarded.
Okay. Well, Adam, you're taking it a little far.
Unplug his microphone right now.
Watch what I can do. Ready? Watch this.
Oh, no.
Watch this.
No.
Look at that. What a power. What a power.
You are going to abuse that
so hard.
So much.
So hard.
Like Nico was during many scenes in this movie.
Wow, I had a joke that I walked back. It's a new me. It's a new me, everybody. Wow. Yes. So, no. Let's try mentally challenged. Let's just try it. Yes.
I feel like that's more offensive.
Yeah,
I've always thought that's way more offensive.
Why? Why is it more offensive?
I can get somebody on the phone who knows what to call them.
Ugh.
Why are they gonna be them, bro? Why they gotta be? Why? Who's them?
I don't want.
Who's them? All of a sudden,
I'm not falling for that one.
What are you trying to say?
Mentally challenged draws more attention to it, in my opinion. You know, I'd feel more self-conscious if someone said,
"Listen, okay."
But I feel like that's right. Because before it was mentally handicapped, but you can't say that anymore.
I feel like mentally handicapped.
Right, let's
not
just say
so bad.
He's not very.
He's slow.
Smart.
Can we say he's slow?
Slow is awful.
He's a little slow.
No.
Here's the thing.
Okay,
about
he's stupid.
Words. Okay.
It's like
here's the thing about words.
I'm sorry, Jackie.
Yeah, we apologize to Jackie.
Shout out to Jackie Robinson, the great baseball legend.
Here's the problem. Number 42, baby. Number 42.
Fuck you, Nick.
Honestly, I'm just surprised he knew who Jackie Robinson was.
Here's the thing about words.
We love you, buddy.
What do you got, Nico?
Words don't become offensive until people start calling people those names, like in a derogatory way.
Sure.
Like, retarded only became bad when a bunch of bullies on the playground were like, "Ha, you're retarded."
But they were in seventh grade.
Jesus. Here's the thing. Like, retarded wasn't offensive before. It's not until the bullies took hold of it. Now mentally challenged, probably in a couple of years, is also going to be offensive.
Oh, yeah.
So really, what I'm saying is...
It's a slippery slope.
What I'm saying is any word flies and just be free and express yourself.
Because retarded is not originally derogatory, like you said. It literally just means slow. That's all it
means.
Well,
yeah, and like to retard something means to slow it down.
Yeah.
Right.
It's a musical term.
Yeah.
Exactly. Sure.
So, regardless.
It's more than a
musical
term.
So that is the character. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, who played him again? Was it...
That was the dude from National Treasure.
Yes.
And I don't know who the actor's name.
Ben.
Justin Bartha.
Oh, the actor is Justin...
Bartha.
Bartha. He played Ben in...
Yeah.
No, he didn't play Ben.
No.
Ben was Nicolas Cage.
He played Riley.
Riley.
Yes.
In one of the great Disney films of all time, National Treasure.
Okay, first of all, love National Treasure.
Great film.
Oh, National Treasure is wonderful.
It was fantastic.
It makes American history a lot more interesting.
Yes, it does.
I mean,
National Treasure
although
is National
although
Treasure.
I did get an F because I did say there's a map on the back of that.
No, you didn't.
No, I didn't. I wanted to, though.
Oh, you should have.
Okay. That would
have been great. So, really quick, before I delve further... How do we feel about people playing mentally challenged or mentally handicapped or retarded or slow or whatever word you want to use? I don't care. How do we feel about that?
You never
doing that.
You never go full retard.
Okay.
You never go full retard.
Gotta quote Tropic Thunder.
Right, that's right. Well, it sort of depends on how they're using the character. Like in Rain Man, it was done phenomenally well.
Tastefully.
Yes.
That's actually a great way to put it. Tastefully is very important. Like,
yeah, but in this one, it seemed almost like a caricature of mentally
challenged people. It was kind of overly silly at times.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a tasteful portrayal of mental disabilities. That,
yes.
It's got nothing to do with the fact that what's the word for non-mentally ill? Is there normal people? I'm stopping myself. This PC wormhole is really getting out of control. Yeah,
it's not annoying. Mentally disabled.
I don't know. No, but it's the fact.
Others.
Mentally disabled and other.
I mean, the fact that Dustin Hoffman
people.
Was playing him. I mean, this is a weird one. This also came up. I forgot where I heard this, but there was a debate about the film Wonder that came out this year, which I did not see. But it's the kid Jacob Tremblay from Room, and he's playing a deformed child. And there's some facial.
Is he deformed, and does he have a mental disability?
I believe so. I haven't seen the movie, so I don't know.
I was wondering if it was like Mask or something, where it's just the physical features are fucked up.
Yeah, I don't know what it was. But they were like, oh, why did they cast this normal-looking kid for this role? Why didn't they put in someone that actually looked like that? And the comparison that some people are making, and I'm not sure if we want to go this far, but it's like blackface, essentially. It's you know what I mean? It's something that you're not, you're becoming something else, and you're using prosthetics in order to do it. And that opportunity should be given to someone that has that actual disability. And my thing is, like, that's acting.
I was just about to say,
that's what acting is.
It's one of those things where, depending on the disability, you just can't get somebody with that disability. Like, somebody who has muscular dystrophy can't act because there's certain regulations where they have to take this many breaks and it holds up the entire production.
Right.
So it's one of those things where it's like, if you can get somebody who can portray it, I don't want to say nicely, but correctly and in an offensive way.
I mean, doesn't have to do with the performance, though. Yeah. That's how the character is written, and that's how the movie is ultimately produced and directed, right?
Yeah, it's also the nature of the medium, like with theater and whatnot. It's not like they're going around looking for actual elephant men to play the elephant man, you know?
Yeah. Right.
And it's interesting in live performances of the elephant man, when it's traditionally done without any makeup at all. You just have to use your body to physically make that believable.
Right. Like
Bradley Cooper just did it a couple of years ago, and it was apparently tremendous.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I heard great things about that.
Yeah.
Well, it's like Phantom of the Opera. You don't get somebody who has half of a face disfigurement,
sure,
and then put a mask on them.
Right.
You don't walk around it.
Yeah, you don't actually have someone that shoots webs out of their wrist playing Spider-Man.
Well,
yeah.
How awesome would that be?
Whoa. You know, it's an exaggeration, but that's the nature of cinema and acting. It's that you become someone that you're not.
Yes.
Right? And you get the person that can best play that character.
No, but then it comes into... playing devil's advocate here a little bit. So does that allow blackface? Is that you know what I'm saying? Like, no. I think there's a sort of balance. It's a balancing act.
The difference with blackface, and you always have to make this exception with black people, because this is just the case, that because they are the most persecuted minority there's ever been in this country, blackface was at a time when that portrayal was offensive and it was a mockery.
It was a caricature. Right. It was a racist mockery.
Were racist portrayals. Whereas now, in something like Wonder, I don't think that was an offensive portrayal of that character.
If it's making another point, like blackface in Tropic Thunder is making a very clear point about method actors. And even it's funny because the black community who saw that film loved that.
Sure.
About it, but the white community was like, this is terrible and offensive. And everyone else was like, no, we get it.
And that was kind of the point. Yeah. It was terrible and offensive. That was acting.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah,
that's parody. That's comedy.
So this movie kind of, I don't know, is it a tasteful representation? I mean, it's kind of used as, he's not like the butt of the joke, but it is used for humor at times.
It certainly is. Absolutely.
But it's not like he's the butt of the joke. You know, they're not making fun of him. This isn't like, what's the movie with Johnny Knoxville that we mentioned earlier?
The Ringer.
It's not like that. That's just like...
Yeah, The Ringer plays mental illness and mental disabilities for laughs.
It absolutely does.
The only issue I have with it is that they're kind of exploiting the fact that he is mentally disabled. Like, the whole plot threads involving the thumb really only works because he's mentally disabled. If you feel anything for that character. I was thinking about it. I was like,
it could have just been a kid.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking, like, how would this play if he was just, you know, perfectly fine?
It could have just been a kid. He didn't have to be mentally. So, like, I mean.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. No. Sure. I mean, Rain Man does do the same thing, though, at times, but I feel differently about it. Because for some reason, I found that movie had better intentions. Mm-hmm. You know, I felt like that was a movie about a guy who was an asshole to his younger brother and ultimately grows to yep. love him again, and they grow closer.
Yeah.
Well, you know? Well, and the difference is in Rain Man, it's like it's a very clear, like Dustin Hoffman understood how people with autism act.
Yeah.
Like he spent time to do the research and everything. In this one, it just sort of seemed like, okay, you have some mental disability. We don't really know what. Go.
Like it was inconsistent.
They don't really develop a lot with the characters.
Yeah. No, it seemed like it was just, you know.
Are you calling this movie lazily written?
I mean, yes. I think so.
How dare you?
I kept wondering, did this character absolutely need to be this way? And it felt very inconsequential to me at the end of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want to, rather than talk about the plot, because I feel like we're burying the lead here, I want to focus in on a couple scenes. And I want to talk about what our favorite scenes in the movie are. Because this movie is so fucking bad. I mean, I don't think we've conveyed this yet. This is a batshit fucking crazy movie.
It's not like bad or good. I kind of enjoyed it. I will never watch it again.
Well, Nick, you said it when we were watching it. You said you need to balance your expectations for it versus how it came out. The expectations, when you have these actors and the directorial talent and everything, you expect it to be a great movie. And
it has this cool auteur name, like Jilly. Like, people would be like, what is this movie? Jiggly. And then someone corrects you, excuse me, it's Jilly.
Yeah. And but then like, but then you watch it and it's just Oscar bait. And then it's just so out of left field and
it tackles gay rights and the mentally challenged, and it's like
this film
it's just bad.
This film's fucking nuts.
Yeah, no, it is.
It's fucking insane.
So I just want to do this right off the top here, even though we're half hour into the podcast. I want to just focus in on what I thought were the most batshit crazy scenes. Mm. Totally bananas, totally out of left field, had no purpose, had no right to be on any screen anywhere, never mind in this movie with big stars playing these characters. And the first one is a reunion between the star of Scent of a Woman and the director that directed him all those years ago. Film legend Al Pacino plays, in essentially a cameo, it's a 10-minute cameo, a gangster character, or maybe not gangster, but a shady crime character that sets this whole plot into motion.
Oh, are we trying this?
Oh, we're trying it. I want to play this 47
seconds. Oh, no.
We're going to try it, all right? Bear with us, everybody. Bear with us.
This it's just like loud screeching and static.
Pray for us, people.
This is Al Pacino as Starkman.
Okay, no, it's not Starkman like a hero.
Starkman.
It's Starkman.
Starkman.
Starkman in Geely. Here we go.
Darkman.
And
this is why we test beforehand.
And the Nico. One who sent, because whatever you choose to call it, a thumb has a fingerprint. And the one you sent had the wrong fucking one.
Brilliant.
This is so much more
interesting. I know my fucking name! You piece of shit!
So loud.
You don't try to extort a federal fucking prosecutor!
Perfect.
Wonderful. I love it.
And if you do, you don't fuck around!
Great. Unplug that so we can get rid of that ringing.
Yeah. Incredible.
Good stuff.
We really need to test that out more, though. Right.
We're going to fix that up.
No, it's not bad.
So at this point,
go ahead.
Lewis tells them, hey, we need to up the ante here. So we need you to send the kid's thumb to his father.
To his brother.
Or brother.
We should mention he kidnaps the kid as a way of extorting the federal prosecutor.
The federal prosecutor. We don't really discover the reason they're doing this until Al Pacino
shows up. Yeah,
comes along though, which is towards the end.
That's a jump though. I don't think we even mentioned J-Lo.
We'll get there.
Okay.
She's the star of this fucking.
Are we
film
saving here. That to last?
I have another clip.
Okay.
Oh boy. Oh, please don't let it be her monologue.
Oh, you know it is.
Oh, it's the yoga.
Yeah. God,
Jesus Christ.
Go ahead.
Are we really doing that?
You were saying.
So at this point, they've grown kind of attached to this kid, and they don't want to cut his thumb off, so they break into a morgue and just send a dead guy's thumb like FedEx Express.
Which we, Nico, you mentioned earlier your favorite scenes. That's probably my favorite scene.
Is it?
Because they're in the morgue. Ben Affleck decides to cut this guy's thumb off with a plastic fork.
No, a plastic fork.
A plastic knife, rather. So he tells Brian, is the kid. He has him turn around and just look away. And I guess he hears the rhythm of him trying to saw off this thumb and starts rapping, "I like big butts."
Yep.
Just out of fucking nowhere.
That kid's great. And my favorite part is they brought him to the morgue. To...
Yeah.
They could never leave Brian alone.
Can't leave him.
Jesus.
No.
He needed some fresh air.
They can never leave him alone. Yeah, at one point, they left him alone.
They actually do.
At a very crucial point in the film, actually. Yeah, when sudden death was right around the corner.
So that's what Pacino was referencing. He's saying, basically, why the fuck did Lewis put this plan together? I asked him to help me, not fucking kidnap the guy's, you know, mentally challenged brother and send them the wrong thumb to the federal prosecutors of the United States. Like,
he makes a point.
That's crazy. Do you want to talk about Jennifer Lopez?
She dominated this film.
Mm. That she did.
100%.
This movie sort of takes on weird gender roles a little bit. She... is
you might say that,
only though. A little bit.
Yeah.
Not so much gender roles, but sexual politics, sure.
Yeah, I mean, she sort of dominates the relationship between her and Larry.
Yeah.
Larry.
Yeah, okay.
Larry's a little feminine, according to her.
Right.
Because he looks at his nails the wrong way.
So did we make this clear? Jennifer Lopez, lesbian.
She's a lesbian.
Lesbian in this
Wait, I don't think we actually said that.
Yeah, we did. Her description
lesbian
is
criminal.
Lesbian
oh,
criminal.
Yes, we did. Yes.
Hence no, the lack of development. Oh, okay. Right.
Okay. One's a criminal who happens to be a lesbian. One's a criminal because they're a lesbian.
Okay. Those lesbians, they're up to no good. So she actually kind of becomes like, in a lot of ways, the man in the relationship, I guess you'd say. They do fuck.
Okay. Yeah. So yes, what happens is Lewis... because he believes that this job is the most important one he's assigned in a while, decides to hire a second fixer to keep an eye on Ben Affleck and make sure everything goes well.
My biggest issue with this is there has been no evidence to show that Ben Affleck's character has a record of failing.
Mm. I don't think he's great at his job, though. He doesn't sound that great at his job.
Well, that's a fair point. I mean,
but if he's not good at it, why have him kidnap the brother of a federal prosecutor?
Yeah, why not just assign JLo to the job in the first place?
Do you think a guy who threatens you with a washing machine is a good hitman?
Dryer,
whatever the fuck.
It worked, didn't it?
It's a very public place, too. It was very,
true.
You know. So JLo shows up, and as we described before, she's quite... I don't know, J-Lo looking.
Fetching.
I'm just about to say that. You fuck.
I knew you were.
Shows up at G-Lee's apartment.
You son of a bitch.
And he sees nothing peculiar about the fact that a woman this beautiful invites herself into his apartment, sits down on his couch, spreads her legs up in a very suggestive way, and essentially gives him the impression that she would like to have sex with him. Mm. No red flags raised at all. You had a great story about a time a beautiful woman approached you, though.
Yeah. I was standing in line. A beautiful woman approached me. She started speaking to me and immediately raised a lot of red flags. And about 5 to 10 minutes into the conversation, she goes, "So I'm a Jehovah's Witness." And it all clicked. It all clicked.
That's the only logical explanation.
You don't think she was...
Damn Jehovah's.
She was trying to sell you something you didn't think that maybe she was interested in. She's just, you know, small talk. Yeah, I'm also a Jehovah's Witness.
Yeah, she was trying to sell me something.
Okay.
Because that's where the conversation turned after she brought that up.
I'm just asking.
But see, here's the thing. Do you just casually bring up, "Oh, I'm a Christian" in a conversation? No, you don't.
So I'm an atheist. How you doing?
Would you like
don't
some
ever
literature?
Fucking say bless you. I'm an atheist. That is offensive.
I have a book for you now. Would you like some atheist literature?
Now
it's a science textbook.
If you're a Scientologist,
you just hand him like a Ray Bradbury novel.
I feel like if you're a Scientologist, you bring up the fact that you're a Scientologist.
Well, I'm pretty sure it's in your contract.
I disagree. I don't think that they do. I think,
really?
I think
let's ask Tom Cruise.
Yes.
No, I think a lot of Scientologists keep it hush-hush because they don't want anybody in their club. I mean, the Scientologists, I think it's way more like the mafia than it is like
well, religion. Okay, no, what I think it is, I think it's a while ago it was until it all came out that, oh, hey, by the way, these people are fucked up. And now people are like,
it's kind of a cult.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, right. Absolutely.
So you don't really announce you're in a cult, is the bottom line.
I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. If you're in a cult, keep it to yourself.
Yeah, I would say so.
The media certainly loves them, though. Hmm. I guess that's where I'm coming from. So.
Yeah. So J-Lo shows up, and it becomes clear she has no interest in Ben Affleck for the obvious reasons.
Because it's Ben Affleck.
Yeah. And
that's beside the point.
Right. And they play around with this idea quite a bit. There is a lot of sexual talk, including between the two of them and Ben Affleck's mother, about experimenting and how back in the day she was quite frisky.
I do agree that was a wonderful scene.
Great
that
scene.
Was, wonderful scene.
That was great.
That was actually a funny scene in the movie. The movie does have its moments. And I say that very carefully.
Basically, the entire movie only had Ben Affleck, Jennifer Lopez, and what was his name? With Justin?
Justin Bartha.
Justin Bartha. So it basically only has those three. Mm-hmm. And then they'll cut to a scene where there is a guest appearance.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And that scene is awesome.
Well, and
then
like,
they go back to those three and it's kind of lame again.
Well, it's like half the movie was just in his apartment.
Yeah, I noticed that. It's like, yeah. Are they ever going to leave this apartment?
Like, I'm pretty sure like half the movie was just in Larry's apartment.
Every single time a guest came on, it was only for one scene and it was a phenomenal scene.
Right, and a lot of kooky characters came in and out of that apartment.
Yeah.
Including my next clip.
Oh, God.
Oh, God, we're doing this again.
Okay. Yeah, we're going to do it again.
Shit.
This is a actor by the name
I really don't want to do this.
of Christopher Walken.
Please don't do that.
Get me a big bowl of pie, some ice cream on it. Good. Put some on your head. Your tongue would slap your brains out trying to get to it. Interested? Jerk. Good. Put some on your head. Your tongue would slap your brains out trying to get to it. What interested?
What kind of editing do they do?
Jared.
What is this clip you pulled up?
This is exquisite acting from Christopher Walken and Geely.
That was not the same sequence.
I don't think we heard the... Hold on, one more time.
Okay, can you turn it down,
Marie
though?
Calendars. Wow. That
was get Marie Callender's.
Get me a big bowl of pie, some ice cream on it. Good. Put some on your head. Your tongue would slap your brains out trying to get to it.
What is interested? Going on here?
Jared?
What is going on in that scene?
So he said Marie Callender's,
right?
Get a big pie.
Yep.
Put some ice cream on it. Put it on your head.
Yes.
Your tongue will slap your brain out to get to it.
You interested? And then did he say yeah?
No. He screams sure. Like he's asking, are you sure? But he just goes sure.
It sounded like he was saying, like, Jeff, like, my name is Jeff. That's kind of what it sounded like he's saying.
I think, and Walken has had a lot of performances like this over the years.
Yes.
That is the greatest heat check, I give me 2 minutes in the fourth quarter, Christopher Walken performance I've ever seen in my life.
Was that scripted?
No. No fucking way was that scripted.
Marie Callender's? I think Marie Callender's is something that the you know... Whoever wrote this movie, Mr.
No.
Breast, was on his yacht somewhere, staring out into the distance, and he comes up with, Marie Callender's.
Let me ask you guys a question.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen a Marie Callender's store?
Mm-mm. No, I've seen, I think, like a chicken pot pie or something is the only thing I've
ever
seen.
Well, I know Marie Callender's does, like, the frozen at home pot pies,
that's
like actual pies.
All I know it for.
But did they have a store?
I don't know.
I have no idea. I can't tell you.
I've never been more certain that something like that was improv. You know when you hear something in a movie and you're like, you cannot write that. It's impossible. And that was beautiful improv right there.
That's Christopher Walken's only scene in the movie.
Yeah.
He plays a federal agent of some kind.
Who cares?
Yeah. We don't really know. His
not very effective. He's not effective, by the way. He's in the apartment.
Yeah.
While the kid he's looking for, I'm pretty sure, is in the apartment.
Is in the back room. Yeah.
Doesn't search, doesn't do anything, just basically threatens him with a good time.
Yeah. Threatens him with a good time. I'm gonna put some pies on your head. Oh, that, I mean, yeah, it's a very weird scene. You would think, like, Walken would be, like, pop up again sometime in the movie to, like, you know,
check in on the investigation.
I don't know. See how things are going. For some, we are led to believe that every federal agent, every cop, every, you know, any federal employee is tracking down this one kid. Yet for
Hold on. Any federal employee?
Oh, yeah.
So postman?
Yes.
The postmen are on the case, dude. No rain, nor sleet, nor snow.
Who do you think found the thumb?
Good point.
You idiot.
They're all looking for this guy. You would think there's like an Amber Alert or something out there for him. But no one can track him down, even though they bring him, you know, they're bringing him to get some ice cream. They're bringing him to the hospital.
Like in California.
He's in the post office. He's just hanging out in the background. It's like, yo, mentally challenged man kidnapped. Come on. Not one person sees him. He makes it to the set of a music video, for God's sake. My Lord. Anyway, what were you saying?
Oh, that was it.
Okay. What were we saying before Christopher Walken?
You know, I've totally forgotten. That I think is missing from this movie is Christopher Walken speaking to Al Pacino.
I thought you said, we're going to say, the only scene missing is him at Emoji Calendars.
Just like extra Ooh. Scene at the end, just like scooping, eating a pie.
Just scooping ice cream onto his head. Just...
Oh, that's good. Oh, that's good.
It's a post-credit sequence.
Turns out he's not actually a detective. He's just a crazy man who found a badge.
Yeah.
Did he even show them a badge?
No, he didn't. He just barged on in. Well,
no professionality.
Well, we don't even know he's a... The only reason I know he's a detective is in the credits he's listed as detective something or other.
Mm.
Nothing lazier.
So very early on in this film, Ben Affleck begins pursuing Jennifer Lopez because they're spending all this time
immediately.
Together. Yeah, immediately. Well, wouldn't you?
She walks in the room and he's like, yes.
Yeah. So he's like, hey, since we got to be together professionally, let's sleep in the same bed tonight. And then she reveals to him in the heat of passion, or at least in a very flirty moment, I'm a lesbian. And chaos ensues from there. It's wacky hijinks.
It's just chaos.
Yeah.
Birds dead, from the skies.
Dead bodies everywhere. Yeah,
it'll make you rethink your Valentine's Day date, put it that way.
Oh, yeah, this is a Valentine's movie.
I was just about to say, we're doing this for Valentine's
Day. It is a Valentine's Day movie. So Ben Affleck, this is another underrated scene, begins psyching himself out when he's about to get in bed with Jennifer Lopez. He's in the bathroom, you know, giving himself a pep talk.
Flexing his muscles.
He's got this giant tattoo on his arm.
Do we ever figure out what that tattoo is?
I can only describe it as that's what the Keebler elves live in. That's exactly what was on.
Yeah, all the colors. It was like a shitty tree with roses, huge roses.
Yeah.
The other one wasn't bad.
Well, I always wonder when I see tattoos on actors whether or not they're real for some of them.
Definitely not real.
Some of them I know.
Some
are,
of them are, yeah.
He's got a few real ones.
Nothing about this movie was real.
Yeah, not a single thing. He has this weird line where he tells J-Lo that there are pearls emanating from me and that you should pay attention to me because I'm a real hitman. This is like monologue theater to the extreme. Like, yeah. I have never... Like, Tarantino was bad with monologues. Like, every yes or no question ends up being like a whole anecdote. But this movie is something, man. It is the phrases they come up with are quite crazy. It's a hell of a
2-hour film.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For about 3 scenes and like 5 actors that matter. Like,
yeah. Like, definitely didn't need to be fucking over. Oh, actually, it was over 2 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, what actually happens in this movie? That's my question.
Were you just blindsided by
they
Jennifer
start out
Lopez
as criminals and end as lovers. Yeah. That's it.
Yeah.
And it's like, by the end, they're like, let's not do crime anymore.
Right.
I'm like, how do you even get into this profession to begin with?
Right.
They're so not ruthless.
That's a weak-ass spirit, as Dave Chappelle would say.
It's a weak-ass spirit.
No, it's... Yeah, it's very weird. It is also, we should mention, conversion therapy of the movie.
Yeah.
That's basically what this is. Probably would not hold up in 2018.
I think any movie where a character says, I am gay or straight or anything, and then someone comes along and says, I'm going to make you not that.
Right.
I mean, come on. That's
not
cool, man.
Ben Affleck has done it before. This is the second film where he's done that.
What's
where
the other one? 6 years earlier, he did Chasing Amy.
Oh, Chasing Amy. That's true. Yeah.
Except converting a lesbian.
Except he fails.
Well, right? I know his fetish now.
I haven't seen the movie.
That one does not work. Does not work out.
That's his fetish, though. That's why he signed up for this movie.
I guess it is, man.
Or maybe it always bothered him that it didn't work out in Chasing Amy.
So he just he wanted a redo.
Yeah, he's like, I want to make this work. Yeah,
J-Lo is a lesbian, right?
And then he married her.
I won.
So they did not get married, by the way.
They just dated. Yeah, oh. Nico and I were confusing our Jennifers.
Ah. Aww.
They dated, they were engaged, they split up after about 18 months. Then he married Jennifer Garner.
I cannot care fucking less.
Yes.
Jennifer Garner, also quite beautiful.
These celebrities already fucking have everything. I don't care who they're fucking.
Right. Jennifer Garner in her brief appearance in Catch Me If You Can.
Yes.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Yes.
I love Jennifer.
That's actually another movie I haven't seen.
You haven't seen Catch Me?
No.
Movie. You'd like that one.
I think I actually did watch it like once as a kid. It's one of my dad's like favorites.
No, that's very good.
What is that? The second best Spielberg film of the 21st century, or the first?
Who cares?
It's tough.
Behind.
The Minority.
War Horse, obviously. Right.
Fuck you. Minority Report's pretty good.
Better than Minority Report.
I do love Minority
Report. It's tough. Though. No. It's a serious question. I don't know.
I think it is better.
Okay.
Does someone else smell like something burning?
I need to clarify. Do we smell like something is burning? Or do we smell something burning?
The second
one. Okay. There's a fire!
Close the fire doors!
No, like, is that just me?
Yeah.
Definitely just you.
No, I have been. It's not my microphone. Okay. I have been like...
My mic smells a little weird.
No, I think just the heat, like, actually kicked on.
We all go smell our mics.
There's nothing worse. They have to listen to that. That's not a silent action.
That's horrible.
That's a podcast first.
Wow.
Everyone at home, smell your microphones.
Oh, yeah.
First of all, go out and buy a microphone. Then smell it and return it.
Oh, shit.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. So by the end of the film, she does become straight and starts.
Well, straight-ish.
Yeah. Straight-ish. Is that what it is?
She fucks one dude. I mean.
Just one.
Yeah, but that was enough, though.
And then, and then she said, no, I'm not hopping the fence. That's a fucking quote.
Did she actually say that?
I think he asked if she was going to hop the fence, and she said, I wouldn't go that far.
No, because earlier in the film, when we were all joking with each other while watching, she said, well, I'm not hopping the fence just yet. And he said, well, when you do, let me know.
Right.
And then at the end, when she comes back in the car, he goes, did you hop the fence? She goes, I wouldn't go that far.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
she's bi.
At least.
Sure. Yes.
Right.
Yes. Sure. She's bi.
Or hetero curious.
Bi curious?
We're just making up words now. Yes. Yep. Now we're literally just making up words.
If Gigli can do it, we can.
Yes. Absolutely. Let's explain the reasoning, though, for why she hops the fence and why she pursues this relationship with Ben Affleck. Because I'm not really sure what this movie was trying to say,
I think it was making fun of like macho masculinity.
Was it making fun of it? I'm not quite sure.
Commenting on it at the very least.
I think this movie took everything it was saying seriously. I think they believed everything, all of the shit that they were spewing. She has sex with Ben Affleck, and she is convinced to do so after asking him how his fingernails look, right? She asks him, take a look at your fingernails, how are they looking? And he does a thing where he goes palms out to check out his fingernails rather than palms in, curling the fingernails towards himself. And she claims that a man...
Good description.
Right? Am I right or wrong?
Okay.
You're
right.
Okay. No, you're correct.
Okay. So
Nick was for once not being a sarcastic douche.
Okay. So she was like, hey, I hear that feminine guys check the fingernails with the palms out and the masculine guys check it with the palms in. And Ben Affleck was doing it with the palms out. Now, I have something to tell you all. I came up with this exact theory like 6 years ago. Like, I was on the bus in high school. I remember it, and it was the whole palms in, palms out theory. If you are a little bit on the feminine side, if you're a little, you know, not the most machismo guy in the world, you're doing palms out. But once you do the palms in, it's a heterosexual thing.
I got news for you, Nico. I heard the same theory back in fifth grade.
Okay.
Well, and I heard the same thing in my high school.
Yeah.
And we went to different high schools.
Yeah.
Well, that sucks. I thought
this is stupid as fuck.
No, it is.
That's the bottom line.
Yeah, no, it's
right. Absolutely. I mean, because that was the point of the movie, is that this is stupid as fuck. Yeah. I think the entire theme of the movie was that nobody cares how you look at your nails.
Of the entire movie?
If I was going to pick one central theme.
That's the message.
That is the core of this
film.
That's
what they want you to take home.
Sure. I guess.
They said, even if you look at your nails in a feminine way, you can still fuck Jennifer Lopez. That was the point.
And what a beautiful message that is.
You can fuck Jennifer Lawrence. Jennifer Lawrence.
Well, sure. I'll take whatever you're providing.
You can fuck all Jennifers.
Whatever you're providing.
Not all Jennifers.
Yeah,
no. My mom's name is Jennifer, so. Not all Jennifers.
Wow.
Jesus.
Oh, God. Speaking of Jennifer Lopez.
This got awkward.
What do you mean? I should have been the one feeling awkward there.
Speaking of Jennifer
Lopez. We were okay with not realizing that fact.
Yeah.
And then you brought it up and made it awkward.
I thought it was funny.
You fuck.
So, there is a lot of... why are you trying to break my pencil?
Give me the pencil,
you
Nick.
You dick.
This is why we can't have nice things, Nick.
There is a lot of sort of philosophical questions about lesbianism presented in this movie, or at least the nature of sexuality. You know, because, you know, Jennifer Lopez.
Did you say lesbianism?
I was just trying to process that for a second. Like, he did not just say lesbianism.
Homosexuality.
Yes.
I'm going to stick with lesbionics, okay?
Hearing Nico say lesbianism is just the best thing ever. Could you say that again, Nico?
Lesbianism.
Okay, now say it not like a serial killer.
Lesbianism.
Oh, God.
It's not wrong.
Okay, not like Rip Taylor.
No. I was doing it like Bea Arthur from Golden Girls.
Lesbian.
She's a lesbian. So she is quite... Like, she's given this whole lesbian thing a lot of thought. Like,
she
is able to speak very eloquently about her love of the female form.
Anything to play this scene.
Yes. I was just about to say, is this going into the clip?
And there's one clip where this passion for the female form is given its due. I'm just going to play the end of this. This is Ben Affleck and Jennifer Lopez in a 5 minute and 45 second scene talking about why she likes girls. Here we go. And by the way, she's doing hot yoga the entire time. Sweatily, scantily clad. And here it is. Oh.
Saying that it is women who are, in fact, the most desirable form.
Here we go.
No. If it's design you're concerned with, hidden meanings, symbolism, and power... Forget the top of Mount Everest. Forget the bottom of the sea, the moon, the stars. There is no place, nowhere that has been the object of more ambitions, more battles than the sweet, sacred mystery between a woman's legs that I am proud to call pussy.
Was so quiet.
What makes that so much worse is Adam and I were reading a children's book.
But it was similar.
While that was playing.
But it was similar. She was talking about the stars, and I think I saw some stars on the book, right?
We were reading about rabbits.
No, we were reading about rabbits and bunnies in the respective holes. Were we not? The bunny had a big one. The bird had a small one.
Zach,
that's what it was.
Get your head out of the rabbit hole.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Get some honey and get out of rabbit's hole, will you?
The name of the name of the novel.
Winnie the Pooh.
The name of the novel.
The novel, okay.
If any of you people are
the novella.
It's called Will You Be My Friend by Nancy Tafuri? Tafuri?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
It's actually pronounced Geely.
And if you look at the front page.
really?
There's an inscription.
It was actually signed by the author.
Oh my God, no
was
way.
It?
I think so.
Are you kidding me?
I think so. I think that's what that was.
What? Yeah, Nico.
Oh, and they drew a bunny.
I was like three. I
they
don't
know. Drew a little your bunny.
Friend, your friend, Nancy Tefuri.
Yeah. Nico.
She never called again.
Happy reading, your friend, Nancy Tefuri.
Aw. Yeah.
It's cute.
Yeah, I know. I'm about to sell that book.
For a buck. Yeah.
Do you know whose signature this is?
Me either.
Aw. Aw, that's bad.
So yeah, really, Jennifer Lopez, a real dog in this movie. A real dog.
Hey. Hmm. That is rude.
Hmm. I'm not entirely sure what he means by it.
Yeah.
But it's still rude. She's beautiful. She's still rude.
Okay, so please explain further why dog and beautiful are similar. You also don't like dogs.
No, he does not.
I hate dogs.
You're like the only person I know who doesn't like dogs.
If J-Lo was a dog, I would...
Give her some peanut butter? Where are you going with this, bud?
Oh, my God.
Answer the question, Nico.
Let's end it there.
Is that what it sounds like?
That's right. A dog eating peanut butter.
Right after.
Thank you. I'll be here all week.
Jenny from the block just plays quietly in the background.
First I had a little, then I had a lot.
Good line.
Okay, so right after this monologue about Jennifer Lopez's pussy, she is referred to, and I think what is the best, no, not the best line in the movie, but pretty close to it. She's called a clam licker.
Yeah. Oh, this is great.
Put the clam licker on the phone.
Yep.
That's a very funny scene.
You know, of all the terms for lesbians I've heard over the years, I can honestly say that's a new one.
Yeah, it is.
I've never heard that.
I don't think I've ever heard of it.
Yeah.
Oh. Clam lickers.
Points for originality.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
Bravo for that.
Great film.
Mm. Oscar bait.
There's a lot of non sequiturs in this film. Needless to say, if that was not clear by this point. And one of them comes in the form of J-Lo's ex-girlfriend barging into the apartment.
That happens.
Nick, care to describe this scene?
No, I don't remember it very well.
Zach, care to describe this scene?
No, you remember it.
Oh, yeah, I do, don't I? Yeah.
Yes, you
this
do.
This is actually how they get to the hospital.
Yes.
Right.
Ah, mm-hmm. That's a great opener. This is how they go to the hospital. Her ex-girlfriend knocks on the door, kind of barges in, and she sees Ben Affleck, a boy. And she goes, who the fuck are you?
Right.
And it's obviously his own apartment, so he's like, who the fuck are you? And turns out it's her ex-girlfriend. They're fighting. She's stalking her. She's stalking Jennifer Lopez. As I'm sure many women across the country do.
Yep. She comes right out and just says, I'm stalking you too.
She does.
Yeah, she does.
Great character
She really
development.
Does.
First step to solving your problem is admitting you have one. And Jennifer Lopez says, like, look, I'm not banging this dude. She had not banged him at this point, so she wasn't lying. And she says, the problem is you and me. We broke up. Leave me alone. And then the girl grabs a knife and slits her fucking wrists right there in the kitchen.
Yes. It happened almost too quickly.
It was like, she's like, I'm going to kill myself. And they're like, okay, sure. And then she slits her fucking wrist and blood is pouring out.
But you don't really see the violence at first. It's like, wait, did she just do that? And then
yeah, she just does it so quickly, calmly, doesn't say anything. And,
then she's standing there and just the blood starts on her wrist. And then next scene, boom, they're in the hospital.
I mean, it is striking. And
although I think Nick's favorite line was a part of this scene.
Yeah, what's even worse is that they play it for laughs afterwards with Brian. Because Brian...
That's right.
Oh, yeah, I think he goes like, you need Band-Aids, lady.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like,
he goes,
weird.
You need some Band-Aids.
That is horrible. I mean,
it's terrible.
I mean, this movie was already quite shocking to me, and there were a number of times where my mouth was agape.
Well, this is the first real moment where, like, okay, this is real. Like, whoa.
What is happening in this movie? Like, who approved this? Who thought this was a good idea? I mean, like, it is...
And they don't go back to her. They bring her to the hospital. She's okay.
Yeah, like all of the minor characters in this film. Yeah.
Everybody's... It's a one-scene thing. That's it. They don't bring him back.
I don't know what it was, but when I was watching the scene, is it weird that I couldn't help but think that this was a scene that could have been in The Room?
It totally could have
been.
Yeah.
The movie did have some Room vibes. I mean, it was very claustrophobic.
What, with the way that people just walk in, leave, you never hear from again?
Pretty much. Well, but this scene in particular felt like The Room to me. I don't know why. It just kind of did.
Yeah, it was way melodramatic, and it was dealing with serious issues like suicide in a way that's just absurd and silly and not true to life at all. Yeah.
And Brian could be a fill-in for Denny.
Absence.
Oh, Denny.
Poor I think Denny. In a lot of ways, this movie just deals with a lot of serious issues in very goofy ways, and that's probably why it didn't get good reception, I would say.
Mm. So,
other things.
This movie evidently was pulled out of theaters a week after being released. Ooh.
In the UK.
Okay.
Every theater after a week said, nope, let's pull it.
Wow. Every single one.
Every single one.
And what happened in the United States? A similar thing,
Yes. So it opened in, I think, like 2,200 theaters.
Right.
And after a week, it was something along the lines of like 90% of those theaters pulled it.
Wow. That's crazy.
Which is, it either was, and something just recently beat it, or it still is, the largest drop in the first week.
Wow.
Of ever. Theaters. Ever.
Man, and there was that stupid kids movie from a couple that like what Teletubbies like ripoff movie that was apparently the lowest grossing movie of all time that came out a couple weeks ago, and I'm not
a couple of weeks ago,
weeks
a couple,
ago. Wait
couple,
a minute,
sorry, not a couple years ago.
Oh, Strange sorry. Magic?
Yes, I think. That's
Are what you it was serious?
Oh, no, you're talking about that's the George Lucas.
Yeah.
George Lucas fairy movie. No, that's not what he's.
There was
about.
Like a Teletubbies live action ripoff that was like
they okay. Had hold on, and stuff. Hold on. First of all,
yeah.
Teletubbies is live action.
No, I know.
Okay.
No, I know. It was another.
Strange Magic is not. Is the reason?
No.
Right.
Okay.
That's why he's clarifying. I actually thought we should do Strange Magic, by the way. Some...
One of these days we'll do it. When that George... was another one, though, right?
When George Lucas passes away.
We'll did just... he direct that movie or just produce it?
I think he wrote it.
He did. Yeah, I'm pretty sure he wrote it. Yeah.
He wrote
it?
Yeah. It's stupid.
Have you seen it?
Yeah.
Ooh.
We kind of glossed over the other crazy thing that happened, and I think it was right for us to do so, but we should talk about it now, maybe.
Go ahead.
The in the Al Pacino scene.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right.
Al Pacino invites Lewis and Ben Affleck and Jennifer Lopez, Larry and Ricky, into his home, and he basically explains, like, why the fuck did you guys do this shit? Like, it was a horrible idea. He goes up to Lewis and grabs his gun from him. And he's like, why are you bringing a gun to my house? Like, this isn't how you convey intimidation. And then he shoots him in the fucking head.
Right. Out of nowhere.
And they zoom in on the fish tank behind him where the fish are eating, like, parts of his scalp and his
brain. Brain matter and shit, just... yeah.
It's kind of cool.
This movie has no chill.
No.
It's just like, whoa.
It's either doing nothing or everything.
It's like movie Settle Down.
Yeah.
Settle Down movie.
We're an action crime rom-com. What?
Feel good.
It's not like a Lifetime movie gone awry.
It's a pastiche is what we'll call it.
What the fuck is it?
It's a pastiche.
That's pistachio? What are you pastiche. Saying?
Yeah, pastiche.
It's a type of nut? I'm confused.
Pistachio is a nut. Pastiche is like a
it's a type of nut.
Fuck you.
No, Susan, what does that mean?
It's like
a nut, right?
I'm not even doing it now. That's it. You killed it. I'm done.
As we mentioned, the two of them finally do have sex, and he submits himself to her. And at the end of the evening, she is in the traditional male post-sex position, and she is in the she's in the male, he's in the female post-sex position, and it's this whole. I don't know, stuff about sexuality and sexual politics. I'm not exactly sure what they were trying to say. But I just wanted to play this quick 16-second clip here because we can.
Okay, yeah, the fact that we can doesn't mean we should.
Last one. This will be a good staple, I'm telling you. It'll be great.
Oh, this is a good one.
Okay.
Oh. Great. Quality.
Well, we're waiting.
Where are you going?
Turkey time.
Huh?
Gobble, gobble.
What?
That's so good.
It's the what at the end.
Well, he's more confused.
Like it was just a shit line, and then he just goes, what?
What if that was unscripted?
I have a feeling it was.
What does that mean? So. It's turkey time. Like of all things you like, I know what it means, but of all things you could say, it's turkey time. What?
Yeah,
I don't understand.
I mean, she wanted him to eat her out. Is basically just for those who are.
Is that the food?
Is that... Yeah, we should probably start setting up these clips
if so people actually know what was happening
yeah.
there.
Yeah, they're about to have sex.
Yes, yes. I often refer to my sexual encounters as turkey time.
Yeah.
Really?
Gobble, I do. Gobble.
Yeah. She then proceeds to say, give me some of that heterolingus.
Yep.
Yeah, that
that was stupid.
Arguably the stupidest line in the whole thing.
Probably.
I love the term heterolingus. when the night is through and they are, it's the morning after and they're reflecting on their passionate lovemaking session the night before, he finally admits, he being Ben Affleck, that he is the cow in that relationship, not the bull, and then goes, moo.
Yeah, there's mooing.
There's definitely
mooing. Isn't there always mooing during sex, though? Come on.
I mean, how often do you fuck a cow? Is the question, Adam.
Oh, no.
Oh, fuck.
Be very careful because girls might be listening.
I didn't even think of that.
Oh, no, I did. I was hoping you would say something.
I have no retort for that.
As you should.
The fifth, Adam.
Let's talk about the ending of this film, shall we? Because the ending for a movie that's already been quite absurd turns this into a circus. Like, this movie is a full-on circus by the end of it. And it involves our character of Brian. Nick, what happens?
The entire movie, he's been asking to go to Baywatch.
The Baywatch.
Yeah. I want to go to the Baywatch. And they're like, what the fuck are you talking about? He wants to go to the beach where all the hot women are. And they're driving away in their getaway car, trying to get away from,
thus getaway car.
In the getaway car, trying to get away from trying Al Pacino's to character, Starkman. And,
Defender of the day, man.
Yes! It sounds so much better with the mics and the headphones, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
As they're driving, they come across a giant film set with a bunch of people at the beach, and Brian gets all excited. It's the Baywatch. Let's go. And you know, they cave and they're like, sure, we have to be running away from this guy who's trying to kill us and all the federal prosecutors, but sure, let's go to the beach. So they pull off and they let Brian loose and
let him loose.
They do. What do you want?
Whoa. God. Swim, Brian. You're free.
But okay, I'm sorry.
They
I'm realizing
let
him loose
in the hindsight. Wild or something like an animal.
I'm realizing in hindsight. Yeah. I meant more so in the fact that they actually like part ways with him.
They let him run free. Is that what you're saying?
Well, they do. I mean,
I think it's you sealed your fate on this one.
Fuck it. Okay, they let him they took the leash off and just fucking let him roam. Fuck it.
We don't want you anymore.
You're dead weight, Brian. Larry. I can't say Larry.
Larry!
It's just such a bad name. Larry calls Brian's brother and basically, I think he just tells him where Brian is, right?
Yeah. And we hear like none of the conversation besides, my name? Fuck you, that's my name. And then he hangs up.
Yeah, basically.
Angrily.
And they leave Brian at the beach and...
It's a good cliche.
It's a good cliche.
So, I guess they're filming a music video is the idea. Mm-hmm. And everybody at the beach is supposed to pair up with someone. I'm assuming of the opposite gender, although I don't know. We only saw like 5 pairs. And
Also, they weren't even paired up because they weren't like dancing together.
Yeah, it was super – it made no sense. And Brian's standing there and there's a blonde girl standing there. And they both don't have a partner, so they kind of just, you know, it's kind of like when you're in elementary school and you're supposed to pick a partner for gym class and you have no friends, so right. You just end up with that weird kid.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah, because you were the weird kid.
Yeah. He was always like, yes, because he always got someone cooler than him.
He was like, yes, I don't have to be with the teacher.
Oh, that's the worst. Nothing worse.
You're playing catch with some, like,
the wall.
Yeah. God. Nothing worse.
Oh. No, what's worse is if they'd be like, okay, you have to be with him. No.
No, we're not doing that one. No.
No, I'll fail.
I'll take a D.
Elementary school, you get pet letter grades, apparently.
Yeah. So they leave, and I don't know what else is there to say. Brian dances with this girl.
No, you're missing. There's a crucial detail you're missing.
About that she's Australian?
Yeah. Right. So there is.
Yeah, we didn't touch that though.
Yeah, there's a scene earlier in the film where Brian is listening to some
scenes.
Yeah, some automated answering machine service that
he's
talks
listening
about...
to the weather in Australia.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
Over the phone, which
is that a thing?
Was that ever a thing?
It must have been a thing at some point.
I mean, in 2000...
I don't know how Brian would have found out about it, but yeah.
Yeah, 2003, we wouldn't have been able to use a phone, let alone...
Right.
Maybe we would have been able to use one, but...
That's a hell of a long-distance call, though.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
And, well, it's only $10. I guess he just... $5. I guess he liked the Australian lady's voice.
Right.
And yes. So when this girl was Australian, it was like a match made in heaven, right?
Are the Australian girls the ones that make his penis sneeze?
Right.
Just girls make his penis sneeze.
What a great line.
That is a line
Bless
in the
you.
Film.
This is a horrible movie.
This is such a bad movie.
But in, like, the best ways. It is just when you think you've, like, I mean, Turkey Time. I mean, like, that isn't even the most fun movie.
I actually enjoyed watching it.
Oh, I had a blast watching it, but I understand why this sunk many a careers. Like,
and,
I understand
and why it got the top five Razzies.
It swept the Razzies, and I've never seen a film more worthy of that award. Like, I mean, I've seen worse movies than that, but in terms of the bad that the Razzies are looking for, that's what it is, man.
Oh, yeah.
And I anticipate that when the Wattaddies come around next year, Gigli will be very well represented. I have to say that.
I don't even think Ben Affleck was really a lead in this movie. It was just Jennifer Lopez.
It was a J-Lo show.
Her movie.
For sure. She is, I guess, fine for the material that she's given. Affleck is horrible. Like, Affleck is bad even for his standards. He's doing this really bad De Niro impression the entire time. You know, and it's ironic that the Goodfellas poster of him as Tommy is hanging up right next to me because it's 100% Tommy from Goodfellas.
Well, you know what's really funny, though, is... Because when we were watching, Adam mentioned, well, I think Adam and I both sort of in tandem mentioned Daredevil.
Oh, yeah.
And how awful of a movie that is.
Mm-hmm.
And it was awful, not because of Ben Affleck, but he didn't help it. But the level of awfulness and the way he was bad in both of these movies, which came out the same year, completely different.
Yes.
I agree. Yes.
So like totally saying, different. Like it's a different level. He's doing something worse in both of these movies.
Daredevil is not as fun as this one, though.
No, it's not.
Yeah. So you're saying that he was able to be bad in two different ways
at the same time.
That's incredible.
Yes.
What an actor.
I know.
What a range.
Well, do we like any Ben Affleck performance? I like a few. I like a few Ben Affleck performances. I'm not going
to
lie.
I haven't seen enough to make a strong opinion.
Yes. I think he is actually very good in Good Will Hunting.
Yep.
I love Good Will Hunting.
Yeah.
Great movie.
He's excellent in that. Gone Girl is suited for him, even though I don't like that movie. That is a performance made for Ben Affleck.
Yes, I agree.
Just because he has to be a cold shell of a human being.
Yes.
And so success on
that.
Well,
I would agree. I know you guys haven't, but I've seen The Accountant.
Okay.
And he plays a kid with autism, so he doesn't have any emotions. So it's a cold shell of a person, basically. And he plays that role pretty well, too.
What about, like, Argo or The Town?
I keep forgetting that he's in Argo, because that's a good movie.
He's fine in Argo. I mean, it's a good directorial performance. It's a very well-directed movie. It's paced well, and it has a sense of purpose.
I'm more fond of The Town.
The Town I just didn't like.
Okay. No, I like Argo better than The Town, but I like Gone Baby Gone better than both of them. Yeah. And I had not seen the newest Run All Night. No, or
Live by Night.
Yeah. Whatever.
And then, of course, there's Batman.
He's just a giant fucking...
And then there's Batman.
Clusterfuck of hits and misses.
Yeah.
It's incredible because Casey is... If you just see one Casey Affleck performance, you're like, this guy's a star.
I can't name a Casey Affleck film that I've seen.
So, he would have been in the Christopher Nolan one that he loves and everybody else hates. The Interstellar.
Oh, Interstellar?
I've never seen it.
Okay. Yeah, oh, wow. Congratulations.
Interstellar's great.
Watch it.
He's in that. He's in Assassination of Jesse James.
Never seen it.
He's in Gone Baby Gone.
Never seen it.
You've seen Good Will Hunting?
Yeah, he pops in.
He's in that?
Yeah, he's in it for a little bit. Yeah. And Manchester by the Sea is just...
That was his, biggest...
I'm never going to see that.
Oh, you can't. You almost can't. I mean, it is a soul-crushing movie, but also a beautifully inspiring movie, too.
I've seen it twice.
Oh,
Why would you do that to yourself?
It's first of all, it's not as sad as some people make it out to
no,
be.
No, it's not. Yeah. It's actually a movie with a lot of hope, even though it deals with very sad subject matter. Mm-hmm. It's a very hopeful movie.
Yeah.
But you know, it's weird. Like, Ben Affleck should be like the redheaded stepchild to Affleck or to Casey Affleck as the superstar, but he's not for some reason.
Because he's the better looking one?
I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, it's so weird. It really is.
Better looking one, and they both went to Harvard. Or at least I know fucking Ben Affleck went to Harvard.
Ben Affleck went to Harvard?
Yeah.
No, and Damon, I don't know if Damon went to Harvard.
He did.
Oh, did he?
Yep.
Okay,
that's I knew that.
Yeah. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, they're Boston kids.
There you go.
Sons of bitches.
Fucking assholes. Well, that's why like every movie they write together is in Boston.
No, I know that. I knew they're from Boston, but I didn't know they all went to Harvard. Jesus.
Yeah, I knew Damon did. I didn't know Affleck did.
Yep.
Really? Yeah. I thought they just met on a movie set somewhere and just became friends.
Mm-hmm. No, they knew each other before they became professional actors.
Oh, really? I
mean, they've been friends for that long. And they when Good Will Hunting came out, I mean, they had been in some stuff because they were struggling actors, but that was like their, oh, these are two kids from Boston trying to make the dream come true, and all of a sudden they became big superstars. Yeah. And
their fucking Oscar speech is the funniest thing.
Yeah, it's pretty great. Man, that's Geely.
Yeah.
God damn, I had a lot of fun watching that one. And I do recommend, if you want to get a little drunk with some friends for a movie night one night, Geely is one of the better choices.
What a stupid fucking name.
Geely. Yes, I agree.
Yeah.
God damn it.
It Geely. Is so true. It is.
Well, it's got to like mean something.
No, it doesn't.
No, it doesn't. I think it's just the name of the character.
Yeah. Well, no, I'm saying they had to have picked the name because the word Geely means something.
Let's translate.
Because why would they make a big deal? Not
I
a
think
big deal.
Just
out of
to
it,
make but... it have an original name.
Does it have? It just has a nice ring to it because you know that's what filmmakers do all the time.
But it doesn't. I don't think it has a nice ring to it. Is the thing?
They thought it did.
Let's.
My opinion.
While I'm doing this, I have to mention this while we're on the air. Mm. I need 10 seconds from you of Celebrity Big Brother talk.
Just I haven't watched.
No.
Ugh.
I keep meaning to, and then me and my dad go out and get drunk. So
it means
this is way stupid.
Geely in Italian means lilies.
That's dumb.
Yeah, goddamn it.
Well, now that kind of makes sense, though, doesn't it? It's a feminine name.
Sure,
I guess.
Okay.
He's a lady boy. Who gives a shit?
This is such a weird movie. And this deserved to end all of these careers.
I mean, it didn't end them, though.
I guess that's true.
It was just a hiatus.
Yeah, sure.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Totally unrelated to what, well, a little related. What's your favorite performance by a non-mentally disabled actor playing a disabled person?
Jesus.
Why is that a classification in your head?
Oh, I have my choice. Absolutely.
De Niro in Awakenings.
Okay. Not mine.
Okay. What's yours?
Leo in Gilbert Grape.
Okay. Good.
There we go.
Great. Good. Glad that's settled. Listen.
Do you like how he didn't ask us?
Yeah. I actually really do.
No, me too.
I want to say something to the three of you while I have you all in the room together.
Oh, good.
This is a very special moment in American history, and there's a television show we're on right now called Celebrity Big Brother. And if you three have not at least seen the scene where Ross the intern from The Tonight Show and Oma fucking Rosa are talking about her time in the White House, you are doing yourselves a disservice. There is like hella journalism going on fucking Celebrity Big Brother. This thing's going to win a Pulitzer fucking prize by the end of the year. Celebrity Big Brother is the greatest season of any reality television show I've ever seen in my life. Okay, that's it.
Whoa.
Hey, Nico, Lucky was pretty good.
Lucky! We'll talk about that in Movie Hopping pretty soon. Yeah. Okay, great. Thank you all for doing a show. This is great. This was long, but a lot of fun.
How long is it?
Hour and a half.
Jesus Christ.
Brutal.
Yeah, I have like an hour and a half to do homework before I have to be somewhere to go. Son of a bitch.
Oh, no. I love this new setup. It's great. New great things coming to Why Is This a Thing? TooManyThoughtsMedia.com. TMT.media for the rest of our podcast shenanigans. And until we talk to you next time, please. Oh, no. Wrong catchphrase again.
What were you going to say?
Y'all been naughty.
No, I'm sorry.
Man, our British accents suck.
That's the point. Asshole. That's the point.
Do not rub the mic in your beards.